After the holidays, there's so much to clean up and get ready for the coming year. This leaves me exhausted and a lot of things falling off my to-do list. It's time to lock in, and Omaha Steaks delivers everything you crave to reset after the holidays. An order from them means having high-quality Omaha Steaks on hand at all times. I'm a big meat lover myself, and I always go with medium rare, but there's also plenty of poultry and other options available. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to www.omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. Thanks to Omaha Steaks for sponsoring us.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Habits are self-driving. There are urges that come up if you don't do it. Try to not turn out a light when you leave a room and see what your brain does to get you to go back and do the thing that your brain feels safe in doing. And so once those urges that drive the habit are in place, then it feels pretty powerless. It's not, but it feels that way because now the binging and the restricting feels like a compulsion instead of a choice.
What's up, everyone? If you're looking to be inspired, motivated, educated, and entertained, you have come to the right place. Welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast, the podcast where we explore your fitness, life mindsets, and actions that help you become unstoppable. You're worth it, and it's time to finally make changes in your life that will last you the rest of your life. Welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast, everyone. I am Melissa Vogel, your host. If you are brand new to the show, welcome. I'm so glad that you have landed on this episode. We're so happy to have you. And if you are a returning listener, welcome back. The show isn't possible without you guys. Happy October. I know I'm breaking all of the podcast rules by saying what month it is and talking about days and times and all that stuff, but I don't care. I don't follow the rules because if you're listening to this down the road, happy Easter, happy Christmas, whatever. I'm just glad that you're listening. But right now for us, when this episode is going out, it is October. Oh my God. You guys, in a couple weeks, it's going to be Halloween, if you can even believe that. I've said this before on other episodes, and I'm going to say it again. Like, did we have 4th of July? Like, what happened to the summer? And can you even believe that we have to deal with Christmas and the holidays here in just a couple months? Like, I feel like we're just living in, like, what are they called? Like, one of those, like, I know someone's shouting it at me right now. Not a matrix, not like an alter universe. I don't know, but a simulation. I feel like that's what we're living in right now. Maybe that's the word. It's just so crazy how time is flying. So I am here to just remind you to slow down and take care of you. Empower you. Because guess what, guys? We don't get to live this life twice. This is it. And I want you to live the best life ever. Now, you have a couple options right now. Work with me, jump in, get signed up for our November challenge. If you are looking to change your life and become a bomb mom, hey, maybe it's time for you and I to have that conversation and we get you going into our onboarding program. and we don't mess around. So no, you don't have to do this alone. You don't have to stay stuck. And I want to empower you, because after you hear today's episode, oh my God, you are going to be like, I have to create change. Holy crap, do I have to create change? If not only for you, but for your kids, because you are the greatest example. Our guest today is Lydia Knight, and she is the founder and CEO of The She Center. And we are talking about eating disorders, disordered eating. She is absolutely incredible. She's the visionary and the founder of the She Center and is revolutionizing our culture by empowering individuals to move from self-sabotage to self-fulfillment and contribute their highest gifts to humanity. Amazing, absolutely amazing. She's the creator of the Empower, Prosper, and Rise programs, and Lydia embodies effective altruism with initiatives that lift up women and children globally. She's a certified health coach, eating disordered expert, and recipient of the Sacred Service Award. Lydia's groundbreaking approach has earned recognitions from major outlets like CBS, NBC, Fox News, Yahoo, and beyond. Lydia is phenomenal. And yes, we are talking about a topic that many people don't want to talk about. We cover it up, we sweep it underneath the rug, but this episode is different. She is going to touch your heart. She touched mine. Did you guys know? She says this in the episode, and I just have to say to my intro really quick. Did you guys know that 75% of women suffer from disordered eating? 75%. This is a topic that needs to be talked about, and you need to know that you can be freed from this. If you are suffering from it, if someone else that you know is suffering from it. But yes, we're talking all about this topic, but you guys, listen to the whole episode, because we are diving into confidence and relationship with food. Everyone needs to hear this episode. Everyone. And I love how she turns into like, it, there's no managing it. It's learning and growing, and she turns it into a habit that can be broken. You can break that habit. Right now, I can tell you it is one of my probably top 10 favorite episodes. Yeah, it's that good. So everyone, sit back, relax, maybe grab a pen and paper. There are so many gold nuggets in this one. And this is one of those episodes that you click those three little dots and you hit copy and paste and you share this link. Moms, too, listen up, because she gives you tips on how to not screw it up. How do we not screw up our kids to lead them down this path? And signs. Like, what are we looking for? Like, how can we help our kids not go down this path? Like, what are signs and symptoms that we are looking for? So Lydia's amazing. Everyone, enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast. Today we have Lydia Knight on with us. Lydia, welcome to the show.
Melissa, it's such a joy to be here. Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited about our conversation.
Oh, me too. I can't wait. So we are diving into the topic of eating disorders today, self-image, self-love. Like, it's all like connected into one, right?
Absolutely.
And this is a topic, we've talked about it before on this podcast, but it's been a hot second. And I think this is one of those conversations that's so important to talk about, bring up again. You know, I always say that with like kids and like stranger danger and like inappropriate touch and like, you know, take things from strangers. Like, it's one of those conversations that you have to have like all the time with your kids. I feel like this is one of those topics and conversations that we need to talk about as adults, have awareness around it, helping skills, know that it's a battle you don't have to fight alone so it doesn't get worse. I mean, it's just one of those things that's like, maybe if we don't talk about it, it'll just go away.
Yeah, it doesn't work, as we all know. That's an issue of why it's such a problem, because we don't talk about it. So I think it's fantastic that we're getting to loop back around. And there's a greater depth of understanding every time we loop around about something. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you are the founder and CEO of the She Center.
Correct.
Okay. How did you become an expert in this field? How did you become the founder and CEO? Like, what's your story and your journey that led you here today?
Yeah. Great question. So I've had a passion for health many, many, many years. My mother, you know, struggled with a lot of issues. I knew that having a life where you weren't healthy, you don't have the options and the choices and the power of when you're really taking care of yourself and when you're really at the best health that you could be. That was always a passion. And I started in like leadership development and then really focused in on health, becoming a certified health coach.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it blew up. Like, we had over 400 health coaches we were training. We had a group of over 8,000 clients, and we were loving it and loved it as coaches and, you know, loved what we did. And this weird thing started happening that seemed totally, totally counter to my identity, where I'd eat healthy all day long, measure everything, weigh everything, count everything. And then it was like, I just need a little like something. I can just have one of something. Like, you know, I just need a little treat, or like, I'm not feeling satisfied. And I would start eating and I would not be able to stop. And I'm someone who self-control and self-mastery and willpower and all those things were important and practiced. So this was terrifying to me. And I would just keep on eating and eating and eating until I was physically in pain. It would take weeks to undo the damage that I had done. And I would every single time just be like, that was so weird. That was so unlike me. I'm never going to do that again. I don't know what happened. And then it was like, as soon as I would recover from that binge, then I would go back into it again and I would binge again. And it was really a scary, scary thing. And so after years of struggling with this and living like this double life where it's like, all right, I'm a health coach in the day, and like binge eater, and not wanting anyone to know that, because it was like, I was leading all of these people in health and I was doing this thing. I got to the point, Melissa, where I was like, I can't live this double life anymore. And I committed career suicide. And I was on a national health call, and you know, the people tuned in from all over. And instead of health tips, I shared what was really happening. And I thought that I would lose everyone, but I had to be honest. And I just, you know, curled up and cried myself to sleep. And like, it was like the end. But I just had to be real. I'd be like, but who wants a health coach that is so out of control with food? And what happened is the next day, like hundreds and hundreds of messages of people saying, and these were like other health coaches. These were like professionals. These were nutritionists and psychologists and doctors. And they were like, same, you are struggling with the exact same thing that I am. And I had no idea that I wasn't alone. Like, I thought that I was the only one. And so it went way beyond my struggling and my story. It went to like, we have to find a solution for this. And what we found, Melissa, was it was just everything out there. This conventional thought was like, well, if you struggle this way with food, then you're broken and you're always going to be broken and you have a disease. And the best that you can do is just manage it for the rest of your life. And my expertise was in about habits and how those work in our minds and how to break them. And so we went to actually treating it as a habit that you could break. And within a week, my own eating disorder after years was ended. And then we started just doing that for all these different situations. It's like, well, does it work for overeating? Does it work for bulimia? And we had people decades of struggling that were just instantly, not instantly, but like they did the work, the framework that we showed them. And in the scheme of things, we're talking about like 4 weeks, 8 weeks, the people were just free and done. And that's where the She Center came from, because we realized that this empowerment of women, this crisis that so many women are in, once they're done with that, then it creates the world we want to live in, because women have their power back. So that's how the journey worked.
That's amazing, because what instant, God, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, when people heard your story, what instant like trust and connection was there? Because you knew their pain, you knew their struggle. So taking what you already knew as an expert and working with habits and stuff, and then making it and switching it into fighting this battle, like, wow, like no wonder you were so successful with it. No wonder it happened so fast, because you were going through it. You were living it too. And you weren't one of those people that was like, oh, I've never been where you've been, but let me talk you through it, even though I have no clue what you're going through. Like, I love that you, God, I can't think of the word. You had that, oh, like validation, I guess, or just, I don't know, but it set you up, you know, not that I want you to experience what you experienced and have an eating disorder and stuff, but like, it turned you into the leader that you are today. That experience created the She Center. And I love that.
Thank you. I love that insight and reflection on that. And I think that's a really important principle that some of our greatest sufferings or greatest pains or greatest struggles or darkest points actually become the best part of the story when we're on the other side of it, that our light we can share with the world because we've been through it. So this is interesting balance of like, we don't want people to go through hard things, but like the hard things we go through become some of our greatest light or have the potential to.
Yeah. Yeah. I deal with that a lot with my clients and what I do through Bomb Mom. And I think a lot of people are surprised when they come in and they onboard and they work with me and we train together and all that stuff, like, you know, fitness, all that, everything. But there's a whole nother side to it in the program with dealing with the demons and the stress and the work and emotions and drama and relationships that go hand in hand with your fitness journey. And I think a lot of people, when they come in, they're surprised at how much I share with my life and what's going on. And if I'm going live in a group, they see me cry. I share what I'm going through. And I have to tell them, like, I got to share this stuff with you guys because I'd be living a lie if I didn't. I'd be telling you, oh my God, you can like be amazing and be fit and like eat right and do all this stuff. And I'm just not going to tell you about like the crap that's going on, you know, like I remove myself as that expert if I don't show you, oh no, this is going on and this is going on, but I still made it to the gym. Like that raw and that real part and that connection, it's God, it's just so important. And now as a coach and a leader for you, I've got to believe that people can't like bullshit a bullshitter. Like they can't pull a fast one over you. You know, like they can like, you're like, oh no, girl, I know what you're trying to pull right now. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like one is you've been there, you know, that journey. And then, you know, we freed over 1,000 women. So everyone is an individual journey, but there are really strong themes that come up. And one of those huge ones is that perfectionism, right? I'm going to be able to do everything just right and not struggle at all. And I'm going to wait till I can do it perfectly and to bust through, like you said, like those demons, like everyone knows what to do. We live in an information world where you can find a whole information playlist from millions of people on whatever topic. So we all know what to do. It's the humanness of actually doing it in real, raw, messy life that makes the difference. Like that's what that aspect it has to be for transformation, because like information is not the transformation.
Yeah, no. I love it. You need that on a t-shirt. Information is not the transformation. You need like hashtag.
Yeah, no,
I love that.
Yeah, we say that all the time in our communities. So yeah.
That's cool. I love that. And I like that you use the word freed, that you have freed women from this, because I've never personally suffered from an eating disorder, haven't gone down that slippery slope, but I've got to imagine that it is like a prison that you're living in when dealing with that. And you are completely controlled by this disorder, by your eating, by your food, by your emotions that lead you to do all of this. And you use that word freed. That's amazing.
And it's the shift from feeling, it's from thinking that you are controlled by it to understanding that you're actually not, and waking up to that, that is a huge part of that transformation. So yeah, it's awful to feel like that is the case. And it's so liberating to know that it's not.
Yeah. Do you see, now I've heard this a lot, that a lot of girls turn to, especially like at a young age, they turn to binging and purging or anorexia. And that is their only way of like controlling their life. If they have really strict parents. I'm trying to think of cases that I know in one situation, like parents were like overbearing and stuff. And while she started off with binging and purging, and then it led more to anorexia, and talking with her, she was like, it was all I could control. Is that common? Do you see that as like a kind of a normal way that this starts for a lot of girls?
Thank you for asking. I'm really glad you're bringing this up. And I say this totally respectfully and from our own expertise and really seen as effective, but it's super important to bust some of these myths out there, because some of these beliefs are the reason that people stay stuck for decades in this problem.
Amen. I agree.
So the number one cause of developing an eating disorder is restrictive dieting. And what happens is when we have this mentality of like, well, it's because it was the only thing I can control, or I didn't have coping mechanisms for my emotions, it's what's called non-falsifiable. So if you think of anything that happened to you, right, you're like, oh, I'm somebody that, you know, is a perfectionist. You can always relate that back to because I needed more control in my life, or because I had this emotional thing. We're emotional creatures. You can think of anything that you're struggling with, and you can always place the focus on it's because of this thing. And here's the huge issue with that, is that if you have the belief that it's because of some emotional thing or it's because of some control thing, and you believe that that's why you're struggling, what you've done is you have set up a life for yourself where you feel powerless until what? You're not emotional anymore, until you don't care about control, until you have all your problems fixed. So this is actually really damaging to women's lives to think like, well, I probably need 25 years of therapy until I have complete mastery of my emotions and I have all my coping mechanisms in place and I don't have any stress anymore. But today, when the food is in front of me, well, because I haven't done that huge thing in my life, then I'm powerless and I just have to do it. What's so important to understand is that you can end this pattern in the moment without fixing anything about yourself.
Yes, I can relate to that and what you're saying so much with what I do and our clients and so many people that I work with, because we hear the same thing. We hear the same exact thing like, oh, well, I can't do this because young kids or because we're busy or like I work too many hours. So there's no room for me to like work out or, you know, like in the fitness world and stuff. And it's like, no, why are you putting that label on? Like, why are you putting yourself in the box? Like, I get it. I get what you're saying.
So until your kids are out of school and you don't anymore, it's like, what situation have you set yourself up for your success? Like, success happens now. Transformation happens now. I'm so glad you brought that up, Melissa, because that is one of the leading myths out there, that it's like, it's either, you know, past trauma or it's, you know, a need for control. And so it actually keeps us from talking about this issue because it's like, well, I don't want that stigma that I have this thing wrong with me. So it's really important to just like, look at what actually works and what the actual issue is.
Okay. I'm really curious about, I have so many questions, but this one like keeps popping into my head. I'm like, I got to ask her about it. So you have taken this and turned it into looking at the disorder as a habit. Mm-hmm. And then you are breaking this habit. I freaking love that because I don't think anyone has ever said that before on here. And I've never even heard it before of like, this is a habit and we can change habits. We can do that. What does the process look like of that? Like, and I know there's, I'm sure that's like a whole program and like everything that the She Center does.
Yeah. Super, super great question. Okay. Let's quickly talk about how the habit starts.
Okay.
So let's say that we overeat and we feel bad about what we ate, right? So then we make up for it, right? We're good people. We're not just going to let that go, right? So then we make up for it. So we're restricting calories or we're cutting out something for a few days. And what happens is the more restrictive that we get, it actually tells our body, our biology drives up those cravings. So if we're trying to restrict sugar, now we have higher cravings for sugar. So it turns into like this binge restrict cycle. And that can look like different things, right? It can be overeating or it can be, you know, the dieting or it can be something more extreme. But anything that we repeatedly do becomes a habit. So binge restrict, binge restrict. At first, it's just us responding to our actions. But after a while, our brain actually gets used to that pattern to the point where it becomes a habit. Habits are self-driving. There are urges that come up if you don't do it. Try to not turn out a light when you leave a room and see what your brain does to get you to go back and do the thing that your brain feels safe in doing. And so once those urges that drive the habit are in place, then it feels pretty powerless. It's not, but it feels that way because now the binging and the restricting feels like a compulsion instead of a choice. So that's how it gets formed. Now, any habit is driven by a habit of thought. We have a thought before we have an action. And most of the times that's not in our consciousness, right? If we take the example, right, you know, turning off the light when we leave a room, we're not aware of the thought around that, but try to not do it. And you'll see that your brain goes into all of these habits of thought of like, well, I mean, you can't just leave a light on, right? So when we actually go upstream, instead of trying to end the habit on the behavior level, we end it on the thought level. So we're actually ending the habit of thought. And when you know how to do that in the moment, what happens is you go from feeling a compulsion to going back and eating more. And then you bring that compulsion into awareness. You break the habit of thought in that moment. And in that moment, the desire actually melts away. So it goes from, I feel like I can't do otherwise to, oh, I don't really want to do that anymore.
Wow.
That changes everything. And when you break that habit of thought, then you break the habit. So the compulsions go away. That's how you permanently an eating disorder or disordered eating or really any pattern. Like this comes in all sorts of different forms. But because 75% of women struggle with disordered eating, then that's the place that we start for a lot of women, because that, once you're done with that, it opens up everything in your life.
And I love how you're saying like permanently end, you can like permanently end an eating disorder, not like what are the words, like heal from it, postpone it, like, because I know like there's a lot of women who they say like they're in remission, you know, or
I'm in recovery forever.
Yeah, like in recovery. And I'm like, it sounds like you had an injury and you recovered from it, but that injury is still there. And you'll always have, like, if you broke your leg, like, oh, I recovered from it, but my leg will never be the same.
Yeah.
So you don't want to recover from an eating disorder and your life never be the same, because it could always be there and come back again, or you have to like work around it. The She Center helps you permanently end it.
Yeah. You can be done. It can be a thing that you is a non-issue, you never deal with again. And it's a really important message for people to even just hear about, like you said, like, you know, oh, I haven't heard of like ending it actually, mm-hmm. because there is what we've inherited is all of this sort of conventional thinking around the disease model of like, that this is just the way that it is forever. Like you can't be done. And we get the haters that are upset that we're saying that you can end an eating disorder.
Oh yeah.
Because there's this mentality of like, how dare you give hope to people when this is something that you will never be done with? And I'm like, well, let me introduce you to these 1,000 women.
Right?
Yeah. There's a shift of like, of consciousness and an understanding of this issue that's actually a huge part of it, because we don't even think of it as something that can be done.
Well, and I'm sure the haters too, probably it has a lot to do with like, if it's ended and it's permanently done and I have changed and you have the proof and stuff, that means that that's a possibility for me and I'm not doing it. And then I would have to let go of the identity of it as well. Because then you have to let go of the identity of, oh, I've recovered from an eating disorder, or, you know, something people attach to these identities so much, and those identities keep them stuck too, you know, and because then you get to be the victim, or you get to be, you know, you have a role attached to it, and that's triggers people big time. Like I see that a lot, and people are just like, how dare you say that you can do it all and look a certain way and behave a certain way and truly be a boss and in control of your life when I'm over here struggling. And I've tried all the things. I've done it all. I've tried it all, you know, but you're telling me like.
Truth is definitely triggering. But I think that that's a really important thing to have compassion in that journey, because that identity, that reaction, that resistance is also a habit of thought that you can transform.
Yep. Today's episode is brought to you by AG1. AG1 helps you build your health foundation first. I absolutely love this product, and I'm so blessed to be able to have them be a part of the Bomb Mom podcast. And let me get the word out to all of you that it is the easiest way to start taking care of you on the inside so it shows on the outside. I was tired of taking so many supplements, and I wanted a single solution that supported my entire body and that covered all of my nutritional needs every day. And that was really easy to do. AG1 does exactly that. One scoop in my water, shake it up, drink it, and I am getting everything that my body needs. AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that delivers comprehensive nutrition for the whole body. And I love what it has done for my skin, my hair, my nails, my recovery. One single serving gives me everything that I need in a green blend and more. Now, for all you moms out there, I know how busy we can be. So if you're looking for self-care that's quick and easy, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packets with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/bombmom. That's drinkag1.com/bombmom and check it out. If you have been on the fence about trying out this product for a while now, it is time, because guess what? We are entering into cold and flu season. Get ahead of your health. Try AG1.
Can we dive into like the complex relationship that we have with food?
Let's do it.
Because it is like, food is so funny because it's something that we can't quit. We can quit smoking. We can quit drinking, like things that we know that aren't serving us. And like, we can work around that. Food, we have to have it. It is in our life. We can't get rid of it. But that relationship with it is so complex. And it's so, especially in this country, you know, all countries, we use it to celebrate. We use it to mourn. We use it to show love. We use it to pacify, you know, like I see that now a lot, like parents. It's just snacks and food and suckers for kids. If it's not that, it's electronics, you know, and just getting them to be quiet. Here,
you're too big for a pacifier, but I can put snacks in your mouth. Okay, so take me through this. Take me through this complex relationship with food and what you guys are seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, yes, yes to all of that. Because we create meaning around everything. Anything that has been in our lives, we, especially since the moment we were born, is going to have a lot of complexity, is going to be all of those things that you said. And here's a really important thing to understand about it, is that we do not need to sort out all that complexity about all the things that food means and diving back into all those. I mean, sure, if you want to look at that, then cool. It's interesting to look at, right? But what's really great is to see all of that complexity of what food means, understand that we have the power to recreate meaning around anything in our lives, especially food, and to actually work at the level of recreating that meaning so that food can have neutrality. There are lots of people in this world where food is neutral, and those people celebrate with food, and those people pacify with food, but from a neutral place where it's like, oh, this is totally appropriate to have birthday cake on my birthday. And it's totally appropriate to, you know, I just had a breakup, so I'm going to go and have a brownie. Like, all of those things are wonderful and human, but to be in the place where it's like, it's not something that is hurting you, and it's not something where you're placing the kind of meaning or complexity on that keep you in that cycle where you've placed a meaning that feels like it's a have to go back to that food over and over.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think a lot of people feel that have to and that need. And we dive a lot into your relationship with food and how it started as like a child. And it's interesting when people start talking about that. Like, I came from a place of like scarcity. There were times where I didn't know if I was going to have enough, you know, and I tell it to my onboarding group, like I literally remember eating graham crackers and butter, which sounds like so disgusting. Sometimes that's all we had, and that's what we would eat. And that really affected me as an adult with food and making sure later nothing was wasted, you know, not because I was forced to eat everything and like nothing was wasted, but because like, oh my God, I still have that stuck in my mind. Like, will there be enough? Is this going to be my last meal for the day? You know, and it's always interesting to dive into that and see how that led you to think and believe and have what your relationship is with food today. Do you see any type of path and patterns to people being more susceptible to an eating disorder based on their childhood or anything like, are you seeing any connections?
Great, great question. So when we look at the feelings and thoughts that we have behind food, mm-hmm. there's always something to attribute from our childhoods, right? So like for me, it was tortillas and butter, just so you know. And yeah, like we had times where we ran out of food and we went hungry and we grew up super, super poor, right? And there are women who grew up in incredible wealth and abundance of everything and they have eating disorders.
Yes.
So to, again, it's an interesting thing to look back on that and see like, oh, that's where that belief came from. But am I okay with that belief driving my behavior today? Is that something that's worth transforming? And what we see is, and National Institutes of Health, I mean, like this is something that is very well researched and we see this as well, where the number one cause of the disordered eating is from the restrictive dieting. Mm-hmm. So it's actually much more likely if someone grew up in a household where dieting was normal, where their mom was on a diet and now that their bodies are maturing, oh, well, that's not okay. You need to go on a diet. That is a way, way bigger predictor of developing an eating disorder than any sort of particulars, you know, emotional or circumstance, childhood.
I completely believe this. I said this just the other day. I don't know where I said it. I could have been alive or a podcaster. I don't know. But I was talking about how I know women, and there'll be women that listen to this going, yep, that's me. She's probably talking about me, that never knew their mom not on a diet. Like that generation, it was like the Slim Fast shakes. It was the Jenny Craig. It was the Weight Watchers and the points. And like, and I'm not shocked now that the women that are this generation now and that are moms struggle so much with their relationship with food, eating too much, not eating enough. And that's all they knew. That's all they knew growing up. And now, like as an adult, and I get to talk to them, I can't believe how many women had an eating disorder in college or high school. Like I always, and I'm sure it's all ages and whatever, but so many women that we talk to, it was in high school or college. Do you know the statistics? Like how many women have suffered from an eating disorder, you know, and have recovered or like do or?
Yeah. So 75% of women.
Holy.
So if you think of like four women that you know, the stats are 3 out of 4 of them struggle with disordered eating. And this is, I love that you're bringing this up because we have this, again, it's this myth busting. It's this idea of like, oh, this is something that happens in our teens or like, oh, happens in college. But that's 75% of women across cultures, across ages. I cannot tell you how many women in their 50s and 60s have come to us to end decades and decades of disordered eating. So the diet industry is a $78 billion industry. And Melissa, you're totally, totally right, where it's like the generation of, you know, SlimFast and Weight Watchers and all of that. But the reason that that industry is thriving more than ever is because they're good at rebranding. So the things that we're like, oh, I don't do that because it's I don't do what my mom did. Well, what are we doing now, right? Where the, oh, well, I'm biohacking or like, oh, I'm doing, you know, intermittent fasting or I'm doing keto. Like we label it different things and we're like, oh, it's a lifestyle. But when you look at biologically and psychologically, what's happening, it's the same as the grapefruit diet that your mom did. It's just with like different stuff, right? So the diet industry will continue to rebrand this idea of what dieting is so that people will still do the same thing, but feel better about it.
Yeah. It's like, how is this legal? Like how it's just so sad because it's just keeping us broke and sick and stuck and not thriving and growing. It's so frustrating. But that's why you and I and people like us are having this conversation.
That's why we're doing this.
Talking and letting them know that there is help. I have to make sure that we help a lot of them because we have a lot of moms that listen to this.
Yeah.
Okay. Two parts to this question. One, what can we look out for?
Mm-hmm.
If we are raising kids and children, like what can we look out for to be like, ooh, that's a red flag, you know, wake up mama. But then also, I know there's probably a lot of moms listening going, okay, what do I do to not screw up my kid?
These are both important questions.
So two of them, which one should we handle first?
Oh, all right. Let's look at both. Let's look at the signs. Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to play devil's advocate. I'm like, what would the listener want to know?
Yep. No, this is great, great, great to explore. Okay. So let's start with what a lot of people will think, what a lot of moms will think is, of course, like they love their children. You know, we don't want our daughters to develop eating disorders. And so if we're struggling with food ourselves, we don't let our kids see us overeat or binge. So it's like, now all the kids are in bed and now I'm going to eat in a way that I don't feel good about. Well, I'm going to go through fast food on the way home and I'm going to throw it away before I get into the house so that everyone thinks that I'm healthy, right? So we have this idea of if my kids don't see me eat badly, I'll put that in quotes, then they'll be okay. But what people don't understand is that it's not your kids seeing you overeat that's the issue. It's them seeing you restrict because that's what they pick up on. And that's the number one cause of disordered eating developing. So taking off the judgment and with compassion for ourselves, it's great to look in on like, how do I talk about my body around my kids? What do my kids overhear about how I feel about my physical appearance? What am I focusing my time on? Do my kids see me cutting out certain foods? Do they see me restricting? Do they hear me talking with our friends about like, you know, what is the next diet that we're doing, even though we're not calling it a diet? So That's a really important piece for like the not screwing up our kids.
No, I love that. You nailed it. I completely agree. And women don't realize, I think sometimes, like, I mean, we know how smart our kids are, but I'm like, you guys, they know, like, you can't hide that from them. Like they see, they pick up on that. Last night I had the biggest, juiciest burger ever with sweet potato fries and my kids see me eat that, you know, and they see me eat like treats and stuff, but they also see me eat a massive amount of vegetables and protein and all of my meals and then ice cream, you know, like it's so important that they see all that. I say that with confidence too. I'm like, if you are not confident yourself, it's really hard to raise confident, strong kids because they will feel that. They will know that like, mom always is on a diet, or mom's always putting herself down, or like, oh my God, I gotta, you know, I'm so fat. Like these pants, I can't even zip them up. And they hear us say these things. We don't think that they're on the outside door of our bedroom, but they are, and they hear us like, and I, nothing in my closet fits me because I'm so fat and blah, blah, blah. And I hate myself. And then turn to our spouse like, do you think I'm pretty? I'm fat, aren't I? You think I'm like, they hear all that and they know you're not confident. But then 5 minutes later, we're like, oh, you look beautiful. Don't you think you look beautiful, honey? And they're like, no, I hate myself. And they're like, why are you saying that? No, you're beautiful. Be confident. And it's such like a messy, like so confusing for the kids. And they're like, well, you don't think that you're beautiful, but you want me to think I'm beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And kids are really intuitive. No, that's great. I mean, like, even if we are hiding those behaviors from them on both sides, kids are intuitive and they know. What we find is that partners usually know a lot less than what we think about our relationship with food, and kids know a lot more than we think about our relationship with food. And yes, that's so important. And it comes from part of the society that we're in and how we're taught as women to put everyone else before ourselves. So it's like, well, I'm going to focus on making sure that my kids feel happy and, you know, beautiful and, you know, confident and all of that. And I'm going to focus on that for them, when actually the thing that would serve them best is focus on you. Ask yourself, if my child had the exact same relationship with food and body that I do, would I be thrilled about that? Or would I be terrified about that?
Perfect question.
So some signs to look for with kids of all ages. So first is to not label age as like, oh, well, they certainly wouldn't be struggling until they're in high school, they're in college. Like it starts really, really early. So if you see this coming up in your five-year-old, like it's just as much as of a red flag. Okay. So one thing to look at is just how they're talking about their bodies and if they're connecting that with food. So if it's like, oh, you know, like, I don't like how my thighs are squishy, like maybe I won't eat that. So if they've connected the, I can manipulate my body because it's not good enough by changing the way that I'm eating, that's a big red flag to look for. Another really important thing is like hiding food shows a lot of times shame around food, right? So finding that your kids are eating things outside of the view of others because they feel bad about eating is also a big thing. And just a quick note that this can look in lots of different ways, but bulimia especially is really, really dangerous. And some people don't know that anytime that you purge your food, it can cause instant death. So there are three ways that it can instantly stop your heart. And so many women are like, oh, well, you know, if I overdo it, you know, like I'll just sort of have a reset that way. It's extremely dangerous and it can be lethal. So what we find is that kids are actually very honest when you ask them things directly. So even asking your daughter, hey, please know I care about you and I just want to check in. Do you ever throw up your food on purpose? Asking a point blank question like that is oftentimes answered honestly. And trying to sort of like figure it out or like go in a roundabout way is just not as effective. So asking really direct questions without like big consequences of like them feeling judgment from you, right? You've got to have some neutrality around like, I really care and I'm curious. So yes. Asking direct questions, looking for any sort of signs of shame around food and them trying to manipulate their bodies and feeling a morality around like what size is okay is going to be important. But honestly, one of the best things we can do is transform our relationships with food, because that's the biggest impact on our kids.
I completely agree. Tell me more about how purging can cause instant death. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
So it's dangerous for our bodies in lots of different ways, but specifically when it comes to instant death, there can be an esophageal tear, which can cause instant death from the purging. Even if you're like, I'm going to put this in quotes, good at purging. Yeah. Okay. Like still. Other thing is that our hearts are very based off of electrolyte balance. And so with purging, with bulimia, that's not just like, I have the flu, but you know, it's like that purging can instantly stop our hearts because of that electrolyte change. And then there's a choking that can happen as well when we purge that way. So yeah.
Okay. That all makes sense. I get it.
Scratch the surface of like the damage that it can cause our bodies. But those are the things where like next time you purge can be the last time that you purge.
Jeez. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that's, people don't talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, we hear things like, you know, oh, it'll ruin your esophagus, your teeth, you know, the acid, and you'll have to get all new teeth. Like you hear things like that, but you don't hear like the real stuff of like, oh no, girl, like this can happen this instant.
Absolutely. We're incredible and powerful and intelligent women that a lot of times, because when we purge, it's like, well, I'm never going to do this again. We know we don't ever Google it. You can just Google how are the ways that purging can instantly kill you, and you get the information on all of this. But it's one of those things that almost like we don't look at on purpose. It's like this willful ignorance because, you know, we just don't want to know because we're never going to do it again. So why stress ourselves out like that? Mm-hmm. That's a dangerous pattern.
Very dangerous. Lydia, how can people work with you? How can people get involved with the She Center?
Yeah, great, great question. So we actually have a fun page of goodies for your community, which is so fun.
Yay!
Yes, we have a special page for you guys. You can go to podcast.theshecenter.org/bombmom. And there we have some really fun things. Right now we have a quiz for finding your food relationship status. So in like 60 seconds, you can find what your relationship with food is. And we give you a full, beautiful, customized report with your top obstacles and action steps and lots of great support around that. We also have our award-winning masterclass that we're going to make available for you guys. And then we have some other really fun things as well with some great things around how people can work with us and, you know, connect and even, you know, like make a difference. We work with corporations to make this environments, better places for women. So there are lots of different ways that you can be involved in the mission of the She Center. But yeah, if they want to go to podcast.thesheCenter.org/bombmom, we've got some really fun gifts there for you guys. Yay! To further your journey.
We'll put it like all in the show notes and stuff too. And you guys are all found like at the She Center, Instagram, Facebook, like we can find you all over on there and YouTube.
Absolutely.
At the She Center. Okay. Yeah. We'll make sure we mention all that too. But I love the awareness. Like I love that you're doing corporate things and stuff. Do you guys ever go into schools and high schools, colleges, or?
We haven't as much, but it's something that we're happy to look at. We've worked mostly with individuals and then corporations. And with corporations, yes, there's like the health aspect, but it's also about like we're revolutionizing the human experience through female empowerment. It's one of the best ways to create the world that we want. So creating environments where women are thriving and are open to communicate and lead, like that's a big deal of what we do in the world. So yeah.
Well, that's what's going to lead more women to living a healthy life and not getting sucked into the world of eating disorders and disordered eating. And like, that's what we're about. Oh my God, I love it. But we have speakers and stuff that come into the kids' schools all the time and they talk about meth and drugs and, you know, all that. But I'm like, has anyone ever came in and talked to you guys about like health and, you know, body image and food and nutrition? And they're like, no one talks about that.
Yeah, that's like, really, really important. Yeah,
interesting.
That could be a great thing to look at, because if we had a world where we taught about the dangers of dieting early in life, like that would save so many lives.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, all the teachers right now are dieting and no one can teach the children on it.
We got to change that too. Yep.
We need to change that. Oh, Lydia, this has been absolutely amazing. I am so thrilled that the universe has connected us together and that we got to do this podcast, because this is going to be one that people can share and listen to and be like, hey, listen to this episode. And now we know too that the She Center is an option, that people have that tool to reach out and get connected and get the help to be freed. If you are stuck, you can be freed. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Melissa. It's so beautiful to have this empowering energy and what a fun conversation. And thank you for all of your passion and what you're doing in the world to like help people to live a better life that they can be really proud of. Because like,
Well, thank you for doing that with me. Thank you for being a part of it. Everyone, check out the show notes, get connected, follow on social media, and reach out, pass this episode along. Lydia, thank you again for coming on. Everyone, stay safe, stay healthy. Until next time.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. This is given with the understanding that neither the host, practice of the practice, or the guest are providing legal, mental health, nutritional, or other professional information. If you need a professional, you should find one.